My name is Rebecca Louise Taylor, and I was born 12/24/36, multiples of 12. So I presume I'm on the 12 o'clock line. Anyway, I was raised on a farm in Mesilla Valley and along the Rio Grande in New Mexico. And my sister and I raised beef cattle and showed beef cattle and dairy cattle, and we're in the 4-H and went to church camp just about every year. I've always wanted a horse from the time I was a youth, and had one of my own from the time I was 11, and would ride over the river and into the hills on the other side of the river. I had some very interesting experiences from that. Let me backtrack a bit. When I was 4, I had a vision. I was playing in my grandmother's yard, and I saw this knight come by in a white shining armor, and he picked me up and took me with him on this horse. I tried to tell my sister about it. She kept telling me I was crazy. Of course, she didn't see it. And I think after that, I learned to keep my mouth shut about what I experienced. Well, anyway, from the time I was 10, I was a UFO abductee because we lived about 130 miles from where the atomic bomb was set off, the first one in New Mexico. And my brothers and I would go to the bosque in the river with our little cook sets and camp out and make a little fire and cook up things. And anyway, I had some lost time periods in those from that experience. And then from my time in the hills on the other side, and I realized after a while that I was kind of meeting a Arab fellow over there, and he had sometimes two other beings with him. And the only thing I really remembered about him was that he rode a gray horse when he was at peace, and then when he went to war, he rode a bay horse, and he had a red beard. Well, when I was 15, I had my bridle chin strap broke, and my horse started running towards home. He ran up the river levee and down the other side and tripped and fell off, and I shot off like being shot out of a cannon. I hit right square on my head, and I was knocked out for a while. And anyway, I managed to catch the horse and ride home, sleep for a couple of days. And after that, it was like all of a sudden I could know what people's souls were like by looking at their face. It was just absolutely ghastly. I could tell everything about them in their features. And I just would close my eyes when I would look at somebody. I could hardly stand knowing all about them. Well, also, at the same time, or shortly thereafter, fortunately, the heavens closed that portal, and that didn't stay open because it was a bit hard to tolerate. I was perfectly coordinated for a while, and then just like something inside of me said to heaven, well, I don't really understand people. And then I could hear a door being shut, and then I had lost that perfect coordination. And I have often wondered, said now, back to heaven again, well, I understand enough about people. Well, anyway, along with this UFO experiences, when I went to University of New Mexico, New Mexico State, and graduated from Texas Woman's University in occupational therapy. Later did my graduate work in physical therapy, but I only had 1 year scholarship, so I did 51 hours in that time, but didn't finish. Well, in that experience, traveling from Los Albuquerque back to my home in Las Cruces, there were several periods where I had lost time, and I ended up years later understanding that I had 8 fetal implants, and that caused fibroid tumors, and that rubbed in my intestines. I ended up having a colon resection, so those abductions created some physical problems. And, well, from that time of my life, I went to work in California and was in a Freemason organization and experienced from a vision, being in the pyramids and dying and being born again. And being born again was like being pulled through a lattice work. And I've wondered if that didn't sometimes fragment a personal soul, just the fact of being born. I haven't had nobody answer that for me yet. Well, anyway, I did some alchemy there and moved back to New Mexico and then went to work in Wyoming. I worked in the Children's Hospital in New Mexico, State Hospital in Wyoming, and then moved to South Dakota. And I always wanted to have a farm or be involved in farm activities and with horses. I realized, you know, it takes a lot of years to make a horse person, a lot of reincarnations. Well, when I was there in South Dakota, I used to watch Oral Roberts, and he said you could read, if you'd read 3 chapters a day of the Bible and 5 on Sunday, you would read the Bible in a year. So I got me a new Bible and started on that. And before I got through with it, I talked to Jesus, and I said, ask him if he, I said, Jesus, I don't know whether you're real or not, if you're the Son of God or not, but I sure would like to know. And Jesus took something dark out of me and put some light into me. And I've never been the same since. But, you know, after that, it seemed like other people, and I guess they don't like the light. But anyway, I got poisoned twice, more than twice, but with lead, and then with had my plumbing lined with mercury, and I took a think that when people don't have the Holy Spirit, they make themselves available to the adversary. And anyway, I later moved to Missouri, and because I was so cold with this mercury poisoning, I moved to Texas, and have been here ever since, 21 years. But since I've come to Texas, you know, I have one that Holy Spirit told me to buy a horse, and I didn't want to, but I went and bought a horse, and I didn't have any place to put it, so I asked an acquaintance in my town to if he had some place, if he could help me, and he said he would. So I ended up being kind of involved with that family. That man got killed from a hunting accident, and his wife had ended up having her whole fortune, like $1,200,000, embezzled from her, and all of a sudden her husband was dead and she was broken, so I helped her as much as I could. I later came to realize from seeing her in a vision that she was all dressed in chainmail and had this white sheet down the front of her with the red cross on it, and had a bit, was holding a big sword. And then I understood that she had been killed when we were in the Crusades, and her son, who would never help her, was her squire, and he was jealous of her, and he handed her the wrong weapon to make sure she would get killed. And so they had karma together, and he was supposed to help her in this lifetime. Funny thing about that young man, he was terribly afraid of me and would not even be able to say hello to me. I took food and hay for their horses and helped them for several, for over 2 years. And in that time, he couldn't even say hello to me, although he didn't mind eating the food. But I realized that on that Crusades, I was a big knight and I was in charge, and I was going to punish him for what he did. And he ran away. And I understand now that, you know, I probably lost several other knights, and I wondered if I am not supposed to help with their further advancement and kind of seek out their souls from this experience and pray for them. There were a couple of other people that abandoned the Venice down on the Crusades, and there's one man that seems to always get angry with me eventually, and I would like him to know that I have forgiven him in this lifetime and trying to make this correction so that he will be free of that. The other night, I woke up. It's been about 4 months, and all of a sudden, there was somebody, like there was somebody in bed with me. I could just see him, and I felt like it was somebody that needed comforting. And I had remembered that I, about my twin flame, I had recognized possibly who it was by reading a book called The Lost Teachings of Atlantis. And he was a monk, American, had gone to Tibet and into this secluded monastery, of which nobody was aware of. And anyway, they had escaped. The CIA raided that monastery. They had very advanced engineering, and they ended up, the CIA ended up killing some. But the Moho Monastery had moved to South America with their great library, an extensive library from many ages past. Well, anyway, I had recognized from reading the book that this might be my twin flame. And Donna Ferry told me that he did die, and he was waiting for me to ascend from another plane. But years ago, I had told heaven that I would come back. And I knew that I was Bodhisattva, that I had come back many times, and I would come back again. Once I was lifted up above the earth, I was just walking along, and I was lifted up above the earth, and I could see all the beings down there, and I knew that we had created them. And I don't know who we were, but we had created them and made this, you know, all these people down there, and we would have to keep coming back until they were all, you know, graduated from this plane. So I was not surprised when I had told heaven that I would come back. But now, you know, I'm thinking that if the karmic board gives me a choice, I would go ahead and ascend with my twin flame. I know that I have been a priestess many times, and if I'd been born in a Catholic family, I'd probably be a nun. And Donna Ferry tells me I was a priestess of the Druids several times. And I have been a nun or a priest in the Catholic Church. And I used to see myself riding along in the dark, you know, on a horse with my robes flapping, carrying a message. And I was a messenger for quite a while. But now on this time, I see myself kneeling before the altar as a great big knight, and I have been a knight many times and was in King Arthur's court. And I am trying to visualize people like in my church, that I, the Baptist church here, and I'm part of their family. I've tried to visualize some of my people in my Sunday school class and putting the armor on them. And that's one of my prayer processes now, with visualization. I know visualization has great effect, because one time I was moving from South Dakota, and I had two places to clean up, and I was not, you know, I was afraid that it was going to snow and I wasn't going to get out of there. I was going to move to Missouri. So I would visualize myself kneeling in an altar and praying to God about the weather, you know, to please hold the snow off until I, you know, got moved, and until I got on the road. And I would say to myself, well, I need to get down and kneel down and really, you know, do this. And I never did, but, you know, that was the latest they ever had the snow come. Well, it did not snow until I got on the road, and then I realized that I should have prayed until to keep the snow off until I got there, because when I got on the road, it started snowing. And visualization really does a lot, and you can create a whole new world with that. And I see yourself in armor, and I just pray that I can find all those troops that I lost in the Crusades or with the Knights Templars, that I can be able to help them, and the 124,000 that might be left behind, so they can be upgraded into our world. I pray that everybody is all right in the Hill Heart Center, and that they will persevere. I am blessed now. I think I lacked a lot of faith for a while. Off and on, I've contributed 10% in a tithe, but not always, not consistently, and I've been doing it lately, and, you know, the Baptist Church has taken it as a mission to build me a new home. Well, maybe about 8 years or so, or maybe a little more, my house burned down here, and this was the second time I'd had a house burned down, and I hadn't really recuperated completely from it and didn't have trenched in water and water running into my house. I did have it on the property and, you know, a septic tank, so my plumbing was not upgraded. I finally got electricity in my house, although there'd been electricity on the property for years off and on. But I feel really blessed that somebody has decided to build me a house. They're building me a one-room house for 15 by 20. And I think this is probably because I had decided to do 12% or a little better on my tithe. And all of a sudden, unbeknownst to me, you know, the church created this mission project. They just call it the Rebecca Project. I'm 79 now, so I probably would appreciate a little air conditioning. The mercury poisoning that was given to me and made me quite sick, and I was really kind of terminally ill when I came to Texas, and I finally found somebody to take it out with injecting me with some kind of propane, and it took it out of my through my kidneys, and I ended up staying home for a couple of years and on a sweat program. That's when I had electricity disconnected because I was trying to stay alive and needed to sweat lead poisoning out so enough so that I continue with the program, because for a while I wasn't quite able to do that. I fed a bunch of dogs in this period of time, and carrying weights around kept the sensation in my hand. I was afraid to sleep too long because I might not wake up, and I was so tired that I would have to sit on the bed a couple of hours before I could manage to get up. But I lived through it, and God has blessed me. And I used to walk around saying, you know, it's dying is easy, it's a resurrection that's hard. But it is more difficult to revive. But I know that in our DNA, we're able to regenerate everything. I just pray for God's great Shekinah glory to come down. I used to wish it would happen when I went to a conference, that the Shekinah glory would come down and all this mist would be in there, and there'd be all this healing in our conferences. I still pray for that great blessing to come and hope for that. Well, I'm doing real well now, and I still keep 3 horses and have 6 dogs, and I'm able to walk around better than I used to. I do have some nerve damage in my legs, but I walk around well to still ride a horse if I can get on. And I can still grow a little bit of a garden and able to listen to talking books. I do not hear real well. My hearing was always borderline. And I have had some macular degeneration, and I've just finished a research program of detoxification, and it's, the rate of deterioration has diminished, and I can still see, maybe not enough to drive, but we have a government program of rural transportation, and I ride that to my appointments, and I have a friend that takes me to Bible study and church. That's the only time I really get to see anybody was when I go to church. And otherwise, I talk to people on the phone.
Well, Rebecca, I'd like to thank you very much for talking with us on the phone. And we are so grateful to have heard your story. And it sounds like you have lots of stories, because when we talked earlier, you were telling me even different stories. And one of the things you said, and it is time for us to close because of our time frame here, you were telling me about the shield of faith and how important that is to you, and about Amazonia, and about putting on the whole armor of God. And I see how that really means a lot in your life. So if you could tell us one more story before we go, we're so happy to hear from you.
Well, one of my projects now is to visualize putting the armor on somebody else. And when I put it on this friend that was a Knights Templar, I felt I almost left the shield of faith off. And the shield, the Roman faith, you know, the one they talk about in the Bible, put on the whole armor of God. The shield was about 4 feet long, and it covered the front of the body, and it had the hooks on either side of it, so you could hook onto another shield from another person, and then the person behind you could put the shield over you, and they could rain arrows down on you, and then nobody was affected. They'd all be protected by all these shields. So the shield of faith is very important, and I think, you know, just my really tithing is, you know, one of the things that I struggled with on my faith, and that I'm, you know, more able to do it. I am able to do it now with really ease, and it seems like I do have money left over. Amazonia is one of my sponsors, and I'm 5'11", I used to be, and I admire her a lot for her, you know, strength and care and energy and her protection. And I'm grateful. I am grateful that heaven is so near. I have experienced a breakthrough, and you know, when I said those 33 decrees from the and broke through and saw that all around us is this beautiful, beautiful, you know, pastel-colored environment, and it's just right here with us all the time. And we are so fortunate. We're so fortunate to be here in the United States, where we still have some freedom at this time, that we can even talk about all this.
Well, thank you, Rebecca, so much. We're so grateful for you being with us and sharing your story. And I'll have to call you on the phone more often, because it's fun to talk to you. So thank you again, Rebecca.
Well, God bless, and bye-bye.
Bye-bye.